and now rigged for the uncharted waters of the free market. You may swap at will.
Well, before we start swapping at will, I have a very, very special treat for you. We were able to locate Mr. Ames. Slight communication glitch, my fault. And we were able to get him, and so we're going to interview Mr. Ed Ames for just the next few minutes. Callers, you're going to have to be patient with me, but this is important. Mr. Ames, first of all, welcome to Swap Shop, and happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
A little bit delayed, but thank you anyway.
Yeah, well, I think 2 weeks ago, right?
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, I was using your my cup runneth over that day for a trivia contest,
and then
and that's what motivated me to actually finally call you and see if we could get you on the air. First, congratulations on such a long and successful career, folks. If you're not familiar with Mr. Ames, of course, a wonderful singer. Also, if you watched the old Daniel Boone, he played Mingo, and that was for, I believe, 5 years. What, 64 through 69, I think.
Yeah, that's about right. It was in the 60s. That's right. And before that, I had been on Broadway, and that's how I got to do the Daniel Boone show.
Mm-hmm. You got picked up there, recognized there.
Yeah, I did a show called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and in it I played a demented Indian guy.
Mm-hmm.
They were just about to do Daniel Boone, so they figured they got a demented Indian, and that's how I got the show.
I guess it's not high praise to start with, but you were you of course became well known, and I want to know the song that I think is. Would you consider "My Cup Runneth Over" to be your signature song?
I guess it is, because that and "Try to Remember," both of them. Mm-hmm. But "My Cup Runneth Over," I guess, yes, I think that was it. That was probably my biggest hit.
Mm-hmm. Did you realize when you first read the music or heard the song that would be a hit for you, or was it something that was just so sort of random, just by chance? Or did you know I could really make a name with this?
Well, I knew the song because it was in a Broadway show with Robert Preston and Mary Martin called "I Do, I Do."
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew the song, and I knew the show, and it was such a beautiful song nobody really knows when a song is going to be a hit or not in advance. I mean, you have your hopes and you have your fact that you yourself like the song, and you kind of hope for the best. And so when it comes out and becomes a hit like that, it's very, very gratifying, and it's wonderful, and it is a beautiful song. It's a beautiful, beautiful love song.
Yeah, it sure is. Your voice is very strong, and a lot of folks, as they get a little bit more time on the chronometer, their voice fades. How is it you've been able to maintain your voice, both for theatrical things, because you've continued to act in the theater for many years after your time on television, as well as your singing career, correct?
That is correct, and to this very day, my voice is as strong as it was when I was 25 years old, and it's inexplicable. I don't know anybody else that has had the good fortune to have their voice last that long. Tony Bennett still is singing very, very well. He's about my age, roughly. And otherwise, I don't know anybody else that whose voice has held up. And I can still... You know, the other day I was driving along and I felt like singing opera, and I started singing an operatic aria, and it was just as easy for me to sing it as it was when I was 25 or 30 years old.
Do you drive a convertible?
Yes, I do. How do you know I drive a convertible?
Just a lucky guess.
I do. I live in California, and that's all I drive, are convertibles.
Uh-huh.
All my cars have been convertibles because the sun is shining and it's terrific, you know. That's a wild guess, but you're right.
I just think you strike me as this convertible spirit. I've got a Mustang convertible. It's my play car for the weekends. But your spirit strikes me as a guy who could be driving down the street in a convertible singing. So I just,
that's what happened.
Yeah,
it happens more than once.
Really? What are good songs outside of opera? Because most of us aren't capable of singing opera. What are good songs to sing in a convertible as you drive along?
Well, now you're going to be very, very surprised when I tell you this.
Maybe.
But I also like to be a scat singer. I mean, I like to sing jazz. I like jazz.
Hmm.
And what I do is I'm playing when I'm driving along, and let's say Sinatra or anybody comes on, I scat sing to what they're... what they're singing, musicals. I know it's a little surprising to you, probably.
No,
but I like jazz very much, and I have the ability. I have a good ear, so I'm able to just kind of improvise on whatever I'm hearing.
What was your musical training?
Very little. I never had singing lessons, and. I sort of trained myself more or less to learn what they call solfeggio, you know, enough to read music.
Hmm.
And that's about it. Otherwise, I had no training.
How did you perfect the act, or how did you and your brothers perfect the act of the Ames Brothers in order to get your sound together? I suppose I should find a clip on YouTube and play some Ames Brothers, although I'm ready to play part of My Cup Runneth Over right now, too, so the audience, if they haven't heard you, can't experience it. How did you get that act together?
Well, we are real brothers. We were real brothers. I'm afraid my brothers have gone to a better place, but I'm the sort of remaining pearl. I was a baby of the family, so
mm-hmm.
I'm hanging in there. But we were just kids, and we had good ears, and we liked what we heard on the radio, and we started imitating. We imitated the Mills Brothers, who were very popular at that time, a very, very popular family singing group.
Mm-hmm.
So we imitated what we heard, and then we started making our own harmonies, and it was just a natural thing. We had no intention of being professional. That all happened by accident, as very often does, and that's it. The act, the selection of songs, and one of my brothers was very funny, and he was had a very comic sense. He was a good comedian, so we added comedy to the act and movement, and we just developed over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
We are not the only ones who did that, by the way. There were the Williams Brothers, which gave rise to Andy Williams, and the Maguire sisters, and it usually happened the same way, they happen to have a group of kids in the family, and they had good ears, and they just sang. And before long, they were singing together, imitating what they heard on the radio. So we weren't the only ones, my brothers and I.
Over the years, does anyone throughout your career, does anyone stand out as being exceptional to work with that really impressed you with either their work ethic or who they were as a person that really... working with them really allowed you a great lesson, or just someone that set a good standard?
Yes, there, I do have an answer for that, and that was, I would say, many people that I learned from that had that characteristic, but the one would have been Kirk Douglas.
Hmm.
When we were together working in a show called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Hmm.
It later was made into a very popular movie with Jack Nicholson.
Right.
We did it on Broadway, Kirk Douglas and a wonderful cast, and myself. And we had a scene together, a very touching scene, where he sort of brings me out of my shell.
If mm-hmm.
You know the story. But anyways, so we would sit there very often just waiting for the curtain to go up. For this lovely scene, and he would, we would be talking, and he would give me tips on how the difference between acting on the stage and acting in movies and acting in front of the camera. And as it were, he became sort of a big brother to me during the during the run of the show. And he was, his work ethic was very, very, it's something to be admired and something to be followed. And before, he was basically a movie actor, although as a young man he had been a stage actor. But in order to make sure that he projected to the audience, he would be in every day. He would, you know, stand in front of an empty theater before the show went on and practice the voice, that his voice projection was as a stage actor and not as a movie actor.
Isur Danielson, his original name.
Yes. Isn't it Danielovich, actually?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, that's right.
It was a Slavic name. I believe Russian. It was Russian. I'm almost positive of that.
Yeah, and he gives himself, in one of his later movies, he gives himself a credit as one of the advisors under his original name. I thought it was kind of cute.
I didn't remember. Know that.
Yeah, it's in the credits. I'm trying to remember which one it is, but it's.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I read his biography and had it, and he talks about that in there. I'm gonna.
Was that the he wrote a biography called The Ragman's Son?
Right. Yeah, that's the one I was talking about.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, The Ragman's Son. And it's a really good. It's a very good read.
Yes,
and,
it is.
I remember my father used to joke about on when we were when the series you were in as Mingo at Daniel Boone, he used to joke. He'd say, "Ed Ames, the only Orthodox Indian on television."
That's right.
I'm going to play for this. My dad would get just a super kick out of being able to say that to you, of you hearing his line. But I'm going to play just the first stanza of My Cup Runneth Over for the audience, if you'll bear with me for just a moment. Let's see.
Sometimes in the morning when shadows are deep, I lie here beside you, just watching you sleep. And sometimes I whisper what I'm thinking of. My cup runneth over with love. All
right, that's I don't want to take up the whole time with playing the song, but that's how long is that note supposed to be?
The one at the end, yes, is 20. I believe it was 21 seconds.
Wow, you got to have a set of pipes to be able to do that.
You got to have a pair of lungs to do it.
Yeah, that's true. I've tried in my convertible driving down the street, because I listen to the oldies when I'm in the older car. I listen to the oldies, and we play you here on our oldie station AM 690 here in Tucson. We play you usually a couple times a week. We play that My Cup Runneth Over, and I try to sing along and try to hold that last note at 22 or 3 or whatever seconds it is. It's not easy to do. So
no, it isn't. I don't know why we did that, except that they played they played the chorus twice, and what could I do? I mean, I started and it kept going and going and going, so I just kept holding on until the end of the song.
Do you have to take a breath before that last the word love? Do you have to take a separate breath, or is that at the end of the phrase?
Yes, I do take a separate breath for that.
Well, with the miracle of editing, they can take your breath sound out of the recording. But
well, I don't quite go. I don't do that, but I do take a breath.
You are just such a joy and a delight. I wonder, I asked you off the air, I wonder if the wholeness of how much joy you brought to people's lives over the years ever strikes you.
Well, when I meet people and they are, they are happy to tell me and what they've, that they've had one kind of a, I do meet people who tell me that my song, any one of my songs may have touched them and brought two people together, and they that became their song, and then they got married and all. And when people tell me that, I'm very, very gratified. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to hear.
I used to start many a morning in my married days with that, waking her up.
Oh, really? Ooh, that's nice.
Yep. And
you lived the words of the song.
Absolutely. And I thought it fits so well, which is why it's such a joy to have you and share you with the audience. You are a national treasure, Mr. Ames.
Oh, thank you very much, Charles. It's very kind of you.
You're welcome. We come to the end of the time. That's all we planned for. And so, I would love to do this again. I'd love to maybe come up with some specific things about singing, or maybe about learning how to work with other people, and do another 10 minutes. Or maybe if you have it, if you'd like to help people out, we'll do a half hour segment on learning to work with other people or make your star rise in the music business, if you'd like to do it.
Sure. I'd be happy to.
Oh, what a joy. Again, thank you for your time at Ames.
Well, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Mine as well. Have a great day.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice. You're listening to The Swap Shop. We got some callers that have been held on, and so we'll go ahead and do that. Caller, your first name, please.